Hello, fellow game explorers, and thanks for joining us on this week's Brief Expedition. These are Which Game First's mini episodes released bi-weekly, where we excavate news and tidbits from the world of gaming. Our next full episode of Which Game First is unearthed in a week. And if you want even more episodes, right now become a patron where you can get exclusive episodes regularly. I'm here with the whole panel today. Evan.
Hello.
Mike.
Buongiorno.
Ed.
Hey, look like I'm gaming it.
And Joe.
Hello.
This week, we're just back from the World Board Gaming Championships in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania. And boy, do we have a lot to share with you.
Woo-hoo. Ed. Oh boy, yeah.
Ed's pumped up.
Oh yeah. I've been gaming all week and I want to game more.
So tell us a little bit about the origin of this game convention and what you're going to see there.
Well, this started off as AvalonCon. This was the 20th anniversary of the WBC.
AvalonCon was named that because Avalon Hill was the original game company that started this convention, right?
That's my understanding. And then the players formed the board called the Board Game Players Association and now run that convention at the World Board Gaming Championship.
So it says World Board Gaming Championships because it is primarily a competition about board games, right?
Just looking at this year's program, they have 50 tournaments that have been running for the past 20 years. And this includes games like Axis and Allies, Advanced Civilization, Dune, Robo Rally.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah. One of my favorites, Wooden Ships and Iron Men.
So the convention is in a resort. So if you are lucky enough to get a room in the resort, you can stay right there while the con is going on. We were staying nearby the convention at a different hotel, which was what, Log Cabin Lodge, which did smell, in fact, like a log cabin, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you guys were staying, but it sounded like a pretty neat spot.
It was, and it had a Hidden Treasures animal park.
Instead of hearing, you know, a rooster crowing, we heard a lion's roar in the morning, and it definitely shook the foundations of the place. It was wild.
Was it a sound effect or a real lion?
No, it wasn't a tape. There was a real lion.
Yeah, it was a real lion.
Yep.
When we told the lady at our lodge that we were going to the board gaming championships, she right away was like, we said, what kind of games do you think we're going to be playing?
Yeah, she's like, Scrabble, Monopoly. Yeah, it is not that.
Yeah, these are definitely deeper dive games. But, you know, you're never going to find a group of people that love these types of games more and are so friendly.
Oh, yeah. They were super approachable. Actually, it was funny. I went up to the war room, which is a room where a bunch of huge, long-scale war games are played. And I thought they'd think I was disturbing them or whatever. But once I kind of showed an interest in what they were doing, they couldn't wait to tell me all about their favorite hobby. It was pretty cool.
Those games can take hours and hours to play, right?
Some of them can be done in a few hours, and some of them they'll be playing all week. It's pretty neat. I know that location known as Eagle's Nest. It was kind of funny.
The Eagle, because it's up on the third floor.
Yeah.
We're going to have some pictures of the war room up on our Instagram. I know I took some beauties. They even bring in, sometimes they bring in some special lighting for it because the pieces, there's so many pieces to lay on the board that they actually move them around with tweezers.
Yeah, yep. So they don't bump the other pieces in the tiny spaces they're in.
Oh my gosh. It's a good idea. Idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea.
On the other end of the scale, there's one game that basically a miniatures ship battle, and they use the floor space and moving ships around on like 10-foot by 20-foot area.
And do they have like a shuffleboard stick in which they move the ships around?
They actually do have sticks to help move those things around.
Yes, I love it.
And they're using cotton to represent the smoke from the battle.
Yeah, they really get into it.
They do, yeah. One of the great things about this con is the people that run each competition are primarily volunteers. They're such enthusiasts of the games. They love these games that they are running the championships for. Almost every game that you can play has a tutorial version of it that they'll be happy to show you. Mm-hmm. Many of them have scheduled tutorials. So before you even start competing, you have a way to learn the game from the people who will be running the competition, which is wonderful.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's helpful. It's totally friendly to new players that way. So you don't have to be an expert coming in. Anybody play a tutorial here?
I actually played a tutorial for Dominion, which is a game I'm extremely familiar with, but I played the tutorial because I wanted to see how somebody teaches another person to play it. And also I wanted to watch new people who have never played it, enjoying the game, enjoying learning how to play it and seeing the light bulb go on. So that was really cool for me.
The tutorial went well.
It went very well. They actually wanted to play a pickup game afterwards, like without the instructor there, to see how well they picked it up.
Well, let's talk about pickup games. This convention is a competition-based convention, but also has a huge open gaming room.
With a big old gaming library.
I spent at least 3 days there, actually, in open gaming.
Oh, yeah.
In this place, open gaming was a legitimate choice for spending a good, significant amount of your game time. They had a library, Evan, of hundreds of games.
So they were organized alphabetically, and you sign them out and sign them back in. And you could put a cone on the table to tell people that you're looking for other people to come join you to play that game.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's a great feature. Now, the colors of the cone is actually significant because you can put it one to say, I'm just looking for players. A green one means beginners welcome. I'll teach you how to play this game. And then there's a red one where it's to say, well, we're looking for experienced players, maybe even just so you can teach me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Clever. That's good. Yeah. Nice system.
The library games were not games that you'd find necessarily at Target. So they were interesting in that there were such a huge variety of games and so many that I had never heard of before that it was fascinating just walking through the library. I know Joe played Love Letter there, right, Joe? Did you compete?
I did. And I came within a heartbeat of winning the first round.
Oh, nice. You didn't get out of the first round. You couldn't get your letter to the princess.
No, it was down to me and one other player, each of whom had three letters to her, and she beat me.
Next time, Joe, you get her next year.
Yeah,
the competition is fierce at these games.
Although, yes, as fierce as the competition is there, though, people are really open to like mixing it up with other people too. Like it stays friendly, and I also noticed it was very quiet in comparison to other conventions that I've been to.
Well, some of the games are definitely loud because they intend to be loud. Like the Liar Dice take place on late Friday night. And everybody gets together and the whole ballroom you saw is then full of people playing Liar Dice. And they're all at the beginning, all shaking the dice. So the whole room is just filled of everybody shaking their dice at once. I recorded a little audio of that.
Oh, cool.
In addition to folks who are really into intensive wargaming, there were a lot of family games. And this convention, which is 8 days long, 8 days of gaming. Obviously, you're intended, if you're going to stay the whole thing, you're going to have to take vacation time and all that stuff. They are, I think, building toward a family gaming experience where you bring your family. It's meant to be your vacation. And, there's plenty to do while you're there. There are like, what, 5 restaurants at this place? I mean, it's an isolated location. Like the nearest town is at least 20 minutes away. So you're there and you could potentially stay there the whole 8 days. You don't need to go anywhere if you don't want to. And whoa, I just want to give a shout out to the pastry and crepe shop.
Yeah.
Amazing crepes for breakfast on Sunday mornings.
Amazing crepes.
The other thing I saw that was very popular there was the Bloody Mary shop.
Yes, yes. Executive chef Sandro Marcato.
If you see these Bloody Marys, you'd be like, whoa.
There was a surf and turf Bloody Mary. Yeah.
It's a big Bloody Mary glass, and well, a smorgasbord of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I had Chipotle shrimp in mine, and there was some lobster meat in there.
Whoa. That is no joke.
I made a point of walking to where everybody else I knew was playing there.
Just to show it off?
Just to show it off. And because I wanted other people to ask me where I got that.
And I'm sure it happened because I saw people turn heads. It's like you walk in there and everybody's like, what?
Where'd you get that and where can I get one? Yeah.
Awesome. It's great. Yeah, so there was definitely some other delights than gaming at the at Seven Springs Resort, which is a ski lodge. So they were happy to have us all there in the middle of summer.
They even have this adventure pass where you can do the activity they have there, like bowling, mini golf, paddle boats, the alpine slide down the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're kind of well positioned to have a little family getaway there.
Yeah.
They are, yeah.
I have a question about the tournaments.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What kind of hardware did we bring home for the Witch Game First family? Who won the big tournaments out of us? I wasn't there, so you guys got to tell me what happened.
Well, Ed, you must have won some amazing trophies for all those train games you were playing.
Well, the closest, unfortunately, I got was sixth place, which is just one place out of getting wood.
I think I'm gonna prep for Liar's Dice next year. It really does sound like a fun game, and I think I'd be pretty good at it.
Some GMs and designers give great support to the game. For example, Matt Culkin provided extra prizes for Sekigahara and Tin Goose, and I managed to get one of the prizes for that. I got a cool looking letter opener that looks like a sword.
See that? There's the first Witch Game First Era trophy. Well done, yeah. Ed.
Yes.
So, guys, what sort of games did you wind up picking up there that we'll be able to play in coming episodes?
Well, I attended the auction, which takes place on Tuesday, and I got a few things.
Yeah, go on.
A Spiel winner from 2009.
I love it.
A game of World Conquest, first published by Avalon Hill in 1993.
Can't wait.
Another Avalon Hill classic, this time from 1976, based on a book from Robert Heinlein.
Starship, that would be Starship Troopers.
Oh, he wrote Starship Troopers?
Yes.
And that was 1976. Whoa.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And then another one I picked up, probably my best acquisition from the auction, the anniversary edition of a game about the event that occurred following the Council of Elvan.
That's some deep nerddom right there.
Yeah.
So what, the Fellowship leaves and what? The game picks up where after the Fellowship leaves, what happens in Rivendell?
there's a terrible mead shortage strikes the forest.
Joe, did you bring home any games?
I brought a game called Santorini. It's a really good-looking game.
I guess we'll find out if it's an awesome game soon.
Yeah.
Santorini coming
up. Can't wait.
One other thing is we did get to meet game designers. There were quite a few there promoting their new games or even playtesting games that were up and coming. I met a couple of war gamers who were promoting their new war games. And one thing that our audience might enjoy checking out is a .org called VassalEngine.org.
Oh, yes.
Vassal's great.
Yeah, it's an open source board gaming engine. Do you guys at Angry Ducks use it at all?
We have used it, yes.
So it's a game engine for building and playing online adaptations of board games and card games. And what these game designers were telling me is it's a valuable tool for them because they can basically input their game into this system, which is free to use. It's open source. And then they send it out to their playtesters all around the world. Mm-hmm. So they no longer need to put out the great expense of making play copies of their games. It's all digital now. So it's really valuable. If anybody has any aspirations toward designing games, this could be an extremely useful tool for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So check it out at VassalEngine.org.
Another thing that they had there from Thursday to Saturday, they have the vendors. I was talking with a couple of the vendors. One, Academy Games, is showing off one of their upcoming games called Agents of Mayhem, The Pride
Ooh.
Of Babylon.
Mm.
They describe it as a fast-paced and over-the-top 3D tactical board game. Whoa. It looks cute. It kind of remind me of Necromunda, where it had 3D terrain, and it's destructible. So when things happen, you can actually remove pieces from it, and it changes the terrain of the game.
That sounds great, too. What's the name of that game again, Ed?
Agents of Mayhem from Academy Games.
Cool. Any other new games that you saw?
One other piece of news I got was from Compass Games. They're actually located near us in Connecticut, and they're going to be doing the Compass Games Expo in November 9 through 12 in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Oh, great.
Well, oh, snap. We should pop our head in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do they have a website?
CompassGames.com.
Oh, cool. So they are at CompassGames.com. Okay, great. That's awesome. All right. Well, I know that we're looking forward to next year's World Board Gaming Championships, where hopefully we'll all be a little bit more competitive.
I'll definitely be there. I'm looking forward to it.
And that brings us to the end of our brief expedition. Join us again next week for a full regular episode. We look forward to hearing about all the game exploring you've done. Follow us on your favorite social media site. We are at Which Game First on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. For more episodes of the show right now, you can become a patron through Patreon. Just go to our website and click on the Become a Patron link. If you get a chance, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps others find the show. Join our chat on our Discord server, Which Game First, and our Patreon supporters get access to exclusive channels. Happy gaming, explorers!
Happy gaming.
Roll those dice.
Hey, so are you ready to play the next game, guys? Guys?